Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and this is the latest of my podcasts. I don't know if any of you have ever thought of trying to get your teenage son to come with you on a walking holiday on the Pennine Way. Some of you may have pulled that off. It's quite a feat if you have. But today I've got Mark Richards with me in the studio. He's going to talk about, not only has he done that, but he's also written books about it. So, hello, Mark. How have you been getting on in these weird times that we're having?
Hi, John, and thanks very much for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure. In answer to your question, how am I? Well, I think the answer is that I don't know. How are any of us in these strange times? I'm incredibly fortunate. I live in Scarborough on the Yorkshire coast. It's about a 5-minute walk from the house down to the beach and a 5-minute walk the other way going to part of the Cleveland Way. So I'm really fortunate. And April and May was really good. It was lovely weather. So I did, you know, quite a lot of walking in the hour or so that we were allowed every day. So it was nice. It was really nice. Having said that, since June arrived, the sea fret, or what do you call it in Scotland, the Ha, has rolled in, and I can barely see across the road outside our house. But like everybody, I'm just looking forward to this ending. Whether I want to go back to life as it once was, I'm not entirely sure. But I think I'm ready for a little bit of a change and to jump in the car and go to Whitby for a plate of fish and chips.
Well, fish and chips in Whitby certainly sounds a good idea to me. Where did you sort of get the, I don't know, this idea to go with your son? What was the sort of first walk that you did?
Sort of 4 years on after the walk, the answer is that I'm not entirely sure. I'd done a few walks with the dog. You know, we'd got a Springer Spaniel at the time, Pepper. And I think it was a midlife crisis, as many of us have. I don't know about you, if that makes sense. And with a bit of training, 80 miles in 5 days on the Pennine Way seemed about right. It turned out to be 90 miles. And as I freely admit in the book, I knew nothing at all about walking. I mean, there's going to be listeners to this podcast holding up their hands in horror. In fact, John, you may not have any listeners left by the time I finished with them. I really knew very little about walking. I knew that what I much younger girls, I decided to walk 90 miles, which may not have been the right decision.
So what was your son's response to this sudden idea by his old dad to walk part of the Pennine Way?
Alex and I have always enjoyed walking together. So we used to walk Pepper the dog through the woods together. We would talk. And that was a brilliant thing to do with a teenage boy. It's just brilliant, you know, because talking to your teenagers, as any parents listening to this will know, talking to your teenagers is not always easy. So we did that while we were walking Ghent and down to Horton in Ribblesdale.
But you did 5 days you walked, and you walked 90 miles. If you're not used to walking, that's a fair old step. So how did you get on with that?
For 4.5 days, brilliantly, and through all the training, absolutely brilliantly. The last day, this is all in the book, obviously, we had an argument, a bit of a falling out when we took the wrong turn. It was just a stupid map reading mistake to make. But we've all done it from time to time. We were tired, you know, we weren't really concentrating. It was a nice day. The sun was shining. Suddenly we're in the middle of a field, the middle of a remarkably boggy field, I have to say, at which ends with me falling in the bog and my one and only claim to fame, becoming the first person in the history of the Pennine Way, I believe, to walk a mile of it in my underpants while everything else that I was wearing dried out. My boots, obviously, still had my boots on, but just my boots and my boxers. Went the year after, sorry, not the year after, because Alex had his A-levels. And that summer he also had his first serious girlfriend, and somehow the pull of his walking boots and his dad and 100 miles didn't seem quite so attractive. But 2018 we set off again, and we set off from Dufton and walked the last 100 miles of the Pennine Way up to Kirkyetholm and finished at the Border Hotel in Kirkyetholm. So that was good.
Well, we all like to think we're in charge of our teenage children, but in my experience, that's rarely the case. So who was actually in charge for most of the walk then?
I think by that time, Alex was pretty much in charge. It was interesting to do the walk in 2016 and then to do it in 2018 when he was 2 years older, and see the difference in attitudes of people. You know, they saw us much more as equals, not so much as a father and son team. Alex was emphatically in charge, and he was in charge of the map reading. And by the sort of fourth or fifth day of that, he'd realised that the best way to treat me was essentially just to treat me like a Springer Spaniel. If you took Pepper out for a walk, she would roll in a dead fish. She would stop to have a wee. She would investigate a barbecue. That's pretty much me and my map reading abilities. I would stop to have a wee. I would have a drink of water. I would try and kill a few horse flies, and I'd invariably suggest we turned left instead of right. So Alex's basic philosophy by that time. This was just, he said this to me as we were going along the forest road towards Burness. He said, essentially, Dad, the best way to treat you is just like a Springer Spaniel, to let you do what you want to do. And I know that if I just keep walking, then sooner or later you'll catch up with me.
OK, so your son obviously got the idea of a sort of dad wrangling after a while. And I would have thought for most teenagers, the idea of going for a walk with their dad might be a bit tenuous, a bit twitchy. But I would have thought it would be made 10 times worse by your dad announcing that he intends to write a book about it. So I just wondered, why did you write the book?
I'd written a column, so writing the book was the natural extension. And, hopefully it's humorous, hopefully it's informative, hopefully it's inspiring for people. Also, there's a slight feeling that I'm writing for Alex's children. I had Alex relatively late on in life, I guess, by most father's standards. So, there's a chance that by the time his kids are teenagers or something, I may be nothing much more than a picture on the mantelpiece, or probably a picture in the toilet, more likely. So there is some sense of writing for posterity, that Alex can one day say to his kids, look, read this book. Your granddad wrote it. It's about when I was your age, and hopefully I will be remembered in that way. We shall have to see. Or alternatively, they might just lose the files. Who knows? But that was the reason for writing the book. And whatever walk we've done, whether it was the return to the Pennine Way in 2018 or the Kerry Way in Ireland in 2019, then I've always written a book about it and self-published it and got the book out as quickly as I can.
Other than the Pennine Way, what other walks have you done?
And then last year, we flew to Dublin, we caught the train to Killarney, and we walked the 125 miles of the Kerry Way, which was just brilliant. I really, really enjoyed that. That was just a lovely, lovely walk to do. Ireland's a lovely place to go to. In contrast to the Pennine Way, I must say that the Kerry Way is superbly signposted. It's a walk that's so well signposted that you could actually do it without a map. And if I've got a criticism of the Pennine Way, it is that sometimes you are simply stood in the middle of a field with no idea of where you are going. The Kerry Way was great, very different to the Pennine Way as well, apart from being greener, wetter and boggier. There was a real sense of history about Ireland, and you were conscious of how much Ireland must have changed in the lifetime of people our age, that it's gone from a very, very agricultural country to the island that you see now. And that was something that I hope I brought out in the book. I had a long conversation with Padraig, who was about my age, I would guess, and he was explaining how life had changed. And I really do hope that I've captured that in the book. Kerryway, Kerryway last year. This year we were hoping to go and do a walk in Italy. That obviously got cancelled because of coronavirus. And quite what we'll do next year, I'm not entirely sure. And I hope we do something next year, because next year Alex finishes at university and he's not obviously going to have as much time in the summer holidays as he's had for the last 3 or 4 years.
Standing in a field with a map and a compass and not having no idea which way to go. Kind of covers most of my hill walking career, to be quite honest. So what's been the response to the book? One of the great things as an author is, you know, people talk to you these days. So what have people said? What have they come back to you on?
The response to the books has been great. It's been fantastic. I write to entertain people. I don't pretend that my books are great literature. I write to give people some amusement, some a break in the middle of a busy, stressful day. I hope that my books make people laugh. You know, I love it when I get a review that said, have to tell you that I was laughing so much at your book that my husband sent me to sleep in the other room, which I think tells you something about the book and probably tells you something about their marriage as well. I really like that. And when people say, you know, the book has inspired me to start walking, if you can do it, I can do it. That's great. And it's been really good. So the anecdotal evidence has been good and the sales have been good. And Amazon have chosen it for a daily deal, chosen the books for daily deals and special promotions. And, hopefully they will give a lot of pleasure to people. So, yeah, I'm really, really pleased about that.
So what's coming next? Just how many times do you think you're going to be able to manage to drag your son along through a bog?
Today, I am hoping to press publish on a book, just a short book, maybe 40,000 words, about Pepper, who I've mentioned already. Pepper was our Springer Spaniel. Sadly, we lost her just before Christmas. She was 13. I've written a book about her. I mentioned earlier the newspaper columns that I write. What I've done there is I've brought together all the newspaper columns that featured Pepper and sort of tried to weave a story around that of how she was an integral part of our children's life, and how any dog in any family becomes an integral part of your life. So, you know, people kind of think that if you write a book about the dog, it's got to be something special. That you've got to rescue her, that she's got to save your life in some way, shape or form. You've got to trek through the wilderness, something like that. I actually don't think that's true at all. I think that any dog in any family has got a story to tell. And that story must resonate with lots and lots of people up and down the land. So that book, Pepper, Tales of a Family Dog, will hopefully be out within the next 6 to 7 days. That's before the end of June. I'm also about halfway through my first novel, which is going to address a few themes that I find interesting. So that hopefully will be the first of a series of six featuring this particular character. And I want to get into novels much more than writing non-fiction books. If anyone wants to see the details of that, then if you just go to my website, which is markrichards.co.uk, then you can see all the details of the novel. And in about the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have the option for you to read the first sort of 4 or 5 chapters of the novel as well.
Walking and climbing in the hills, etc., seems to have a unique talent for engendering disaster, which is always good for a story. So I wondered, you know, what was the funniest thing that happened to you and your son while you were out walking?
Well, probably if you were an impartial observer, the sight of me sinking gradually into an Irish bog on the penultimate day of the walk round the Kerry Way was probably quite funny, particularly as I had a Basil Fawlty style rant because I was very tired. And if you have seen the scene where Basil loses his temper with his car and gives it a damn good thrashing, if you transfer that scene to an Irish bog and substitute a grey-haired bloke in shorts for Basil Fawlty, you won't be very far away. Sometimes I am not one of life's naturally fittest people, and sometimes I've had enough of hills and bogs and paths that really could go to where they're supposed to be going a lot quicker. So that was that. My own personal favourite is that the hardest day we've ever done, I think, was on the first Pennine Way walk. We walked from Hawes to Tan Hill, which on a beautiful summer's day would have been just the most fantastic walk. It just poured down all day. It was August the 3rd. 200 miles away, people were sitting in T-shirts, watching a test match and drinking beer. It just poured down all day. It was relentless. You know what it's like, you know, suddenly what was once a path has become a stream. It was just an absolutely exhausting day. And I understood that day, really, for the first time, how, you know, dangerous sounds a dramatic word, but how dangerous hill walking can be in the wrong conditions. But eventually we reached Tan Hill and got into the room where we were staying, and I was just exhausted, absolutely exhausted. And my wife phoned. I was so tired that I couldn't even speak to my wife. I went in the shower the Tan Hill Inn at that time just did need the occasional improvement in the rooms. And I put my glasses on the shelf in the bathroom, which was sloping at a dangerous angle. And I was too tired to sort of notice this. And I just watched my glasses as they sort of slid on this sloping shelf. And I was just so tired that I couldn't do anything except watch. And my glasses just slid from one end of the shelf to the other and then gently slid off the shelf and fell down the toilet. And that was not really how I wanted to end a 16, 17, 18 mile day of being soaked to the skin, was pushing my hand down the toilet at the Tan Hill Inn to retrieve my glasses. But character forming, and if anything's difficult now, I just kind of mutter Hawes to Tan Hill and get on with it. So, yeah, but there's lots of funny incidents. Everything is a funny incident if you look at it in the right way. And I think, you know, for me, trying to record them in the books afterwards and just capturing the moments, hopefully that works. And hopefully, as I've said, the books give people a lot of pleasure.
Oh, that's marvellous, isn't it? 18-mile walk through the pouring rain, and then you have to fish your glasses out of the toilet. I can't tell you the vicarious pleasure that gives me in hearing about that, because that's exactly what happens to me quite a lot of the time. Well, listen, it's been fantastic hearing about your books, and I think you've turned father and son into an art form there. So thanks very much for coming on the show, and all the best with your future publications.
But no, it's been an absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you very much. And I will stumble across you, no doubt, in some deserted bothy one day. And we can catch up and have a good talk. Cheers, John. Take care. Bye-bye.